Kind of neat having some helpers out here. I wish I'd done that the first Wednesday, because they've been very helpful and I've enjoyed it. So tonight's psalm, interesting psalm. We're going through the penitential psalms in the book of Psalms. And ours tonight is written, I mean, just look at the heading. A prayer of an afflicted man when he is faint and pours out his laments before the Lord. I think that wraps it all up. And that says just about everything right there. But the one thing we can't remember, the most important part of this whole Lenten season, is not to focus completely on our laments, on the things we've done wrong. Maybe not quite as much as D'Artagnan has forgotten all the things he's done wrong, but to take those things and know that God, who is never changing, is always there, enthroned, is always willing and waiting for us to confess our sins so he can forgive them. Tonight's psalm really illustrates what the body goes through. For the law, that's the purpose of the law, is when we sin, it really starts to beat down. Just like Jocelyn said, it makes her feel sad. It makes all of us, regardless of our age, feel sad when we do something wrong, whether it's a big thing or it's a little thing. And tonight, our psalmist really puts those words, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit, takes those words. I want to get into some of those words that the psalmist used, but the very first thing I want to touch on is the effects of sin and how it starts to separate us from the love of God, from His presence. It's not Him walking away from us. It's us walking away from Him. The psalmist today says, "Don't hide your face from me. Turn your ear to me. Answer me quickly." A desperate plea for God to come back into His presence. He's there. He's waiting. I want to come back in your presence. You're holding on to these sins that are starting to weigh you down and starting to eat away at you mentally, spiritually, and physically, and you're not giving them to me. The whole purpose that I sent my Son to earth was to die on a cross for your sins, and at this point, you're not willing to give them up. We've all been there. I was reading in an article, it was a medical article, talking about, because as I'm reading through this, I see this man is certainly feeling distressed and lonely and feeling like that he's kind of out there on his own. And the effects that anxiety can have on an individual can make people feel a very, very similar way. As a matter of fact, anxiety and even very, very traumatic, stressful events in someone's life can reduce someone to crawling into the fetal position in a corner and just completely separating themselves from life. It's the furthest they can get mentally in their mind, completely away from life. And I would say that this psalmist here is experiencing that same type of detachment. Where do I go? Where do I run? Things in my life are so bad, how do I get away? I crawl back in the womb and I shut the world out around me. Drug addicts will go through this as well when they're going through withdrawal symptoms. You know, where do you go? You're shaking. You feel like no one's around. No one can help you. The world's collapsing around you. You curl up in the fetal position in a corner. It's a pretty sad state. And when you have this separation from God, you start to feel these, you start to feel certain physical responses to this separation of God. I mean, mentally, you've already detached yourself from Him. You feel as though He's not there. It's like that picture of footprints in the sand. You know, I saw the footprints there. I'll summarize, but I saw the footprints there of You walking next to me, Jesus, but how come sometimes when I look back, I only saw one set of footprints? Where'd You go? And Jesus' answer in this poem here was, those were the times when I was carrying You, the times when you weren't able to make it on your own. And we can have some type of physical ailments that accompany these mental ailments as well. The psalmist here, as I read through this lament, the verses 3 through 11 are all focused on how this man is feeling as he writes this psalm. "For my days are vanishing like smoke. I have no control over them. The wind blows me to the left and to the right. My life is gone as I know it. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withering like the grass. I forget to eat. Because of my loud groaning, I'm reduced to skin and bones. Maybe we can't all understand what it's like to have a highly stressful or a high anxiety impact on our lives. But I think most of us here have been through something or known someone that has gone through something like that. Anxiety, even something like a death in the family. You feel like you just don't want to eat. You have a physical separation from God, a mental separation from God, and physically it starts to take its toll on your body. The psalmist says, all day long my enemies taunt me. Think of, high school, grade school. Can you imagine having bullies 24/7 where your name is a curse and they taunt you all day long? Regardless of what it's about, nobody likes to be taunted. No one likes to be made fun of. The psalmist has reached the absolute bottom, the pit, if you will, of the well. He sees no way out at this point in the psalm. You carry sin around with you, the same thing happens with us. First, we have the mental separation from God. Then it starts to take its physical toll on our bodies. Whether it's not eating, whether it is crawling in the fetal position, whether it's lying in bed staring at the ceiling for severe cases of depression, they all start to take their toll on your body. And when those start to happen, your spiritual toll is now at even a greater loss. Mentally, you think God's gone. Spiritually, your faith starts to recede. You start to question your faith. This is the effect that the fall has on the whole world around us. It's not just, it's not just us doing something bad. It's us doing something bad, and then as we heard in a sermon a week or two ago, and we try to hide it. I'm just going to cover it over and pretend it doesn't exist. And it constantly weighs you down day after day after day. However, God has a gift of forgiveness, the theme of this Lenten season. The gift of forgiveness that if we just confess, this is the purpose of Christ coming down to earth, becoming incarnate in the Virgin Mary. He said, I'm doing this for you. It's not about me. I'm trying to bring you back into relationship. And by my hanging on the cross, I'm not doing it there because I was a bad man. I'm innocent blood. But I'm doing it there because I want to go to the cross for the things that you've done wrong, for the things that Adam's done wrong, for the things that your children will do wrong if they have yet to be born, grandchildren. That's my purpose. I want you to give me your sins. The only way to give them to Christ is to confess them. The whole purpose of confession. This particular confession, I believe, is more focused on corporate confession, like we do when we start out our service. The psalmist writes about the kingdom's assembling and praising God. And I see this type of a confession, a praise of who God is, of what He can do. And they're giving their sins to Him. This is the state I'm in, God. Help me. I've done wrong, and I know it. It's everything that we could possibly want to know about forgiveness of sins. You don't have to sit there and itemize each one of them out. Sometimes that helps if there's something on your heart that's weighing you down. But the point is you confess that I don't deserve any of this, but Christ, because of who He is and what He has done, has said, give them to me. Don't get weighed down like the psalmist in the first part here. It'll trip you up. This helps to remove our guilt. And the promises of God, as the psalmist continues on, is to remember who He is. God is not changing. In the beginning, You laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of Your hands. You are the Creator. You've done all this. I'm here because of You. I am a child of God. Bring me back into Your arms. These men who made fun of me, the people who taunt me, the people who don't believe in you, they will perish. They will wear out like a garment. They will be discarded. But you never change. You never change, and your years will never end. And your children will live in your presence. They will live in your presence forever. You know, sometimes we read the Old Testament and we have this disjointed view of it. You know, the Old Testament, well, that was for the Jews. The New Testament, that's for the Gentiles. That's for us. We only read the New Testament. The book of Hebrews quotes Psalm 102. And this very quote, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth. You never change. You are there and your children will live in your presence forever." The first chapter of Hebrews says this is about Jesus Christ. This is about the promise that was made in the garden to Eve and Adam that there will be one coming. This is about the promise made to Abraham that look at all the sand. You can't count how many grains of sand there are, how many stars there are in the sky. Your descendants will be as such. You will be a blessing to the people. I will give you a land, heaven, for your descendants. These are all the promises of Christ. And if you want to take it one step further, if you really want to look into the psalm and see Christ, not only, as per the book of Hebrews, is He the one who created everything, but I actually see Christ in the beginning of this psalm too. You possibly sit back and wonder, how could anyone possibly be at this level of lament to where they're at the bottom? But as Christ prayed in Gethsemane, His fret and fear was so high that He sweat drops of blood. Read through, when you have the time, the prayer in Gethsemane, and come back and read this portion of the psalm again and tell me you don't see Christ not only as the one who is forever and the one whom we can confess our sins and He can take them away, but I can also see Him praying this prayer of, take this cup away from me, if it be your will. And the Father said, it's not. You need to go to the cross. Sometimes we can get down at that level just like Christ did at Gethsemane. But we shouldn't stay there. We should confess our sins boldly. We should ask for forgiveness. And then, as Jocelyn so sweetly and kindly said, it doesn't matter whether you come 2 times, 200 times, or 2,000 times or more. He is more than willing every single time to say, fret no more about that. It is finished. Amen.